We're going to continue on because there is a spirit of victory. And what is our title for our tithes and offerings? God's provision at a new level. And today there is a new level that's going to be happening on the football field. It's not just your average, ordinary game, right? It's the Super Bowl. And we call this Super Sunday because guess who is even more super than the Super Bowl? Jesus, right? And today there is victory in the house. Say that with me. There is victory in the house. Actually, the Lord said, have him say, there is victory in my house. Say it. Be in my house. Amen. Don't keep it out there. Bring it in here, right? Bring it into the huddle. It's amazing how many parallels you can make. But we're going to continue on with Isaiah 43:19. And since we started speaking about this at the 1st of January, God has been doing some amazing things in people's finances. Just amazing. So if it hasn't been amazing yet in your life, say, I'm next. You're next. Yes, because God, I love this thing about God. I was thinking about this week about Elizabeth. You know, sometimes we think that God is up there and he's portioning out. Okay, well, Elizabeth got her big one and that's it for her now. Next person, somebody shake your head. We're going to see today this is not who our God is. He's a God of doing amazing things over and over and over and over again. Somebody say amen. Yes, amen. Let's read the verse. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we started with the word behold. I'm just going to recap real quick for all of our Facebook family. Behold, was Isaiah was talking along, and the people, you know, a lot of times when pastors are preaching, they're listening, but they're not really listening as they go on and on. And then he says, behold, boom, everybody sat up in the church, right? All of a sudden, everybody's like, okay, I'm paying attention because that's what this means. Hey, wake up. I'm about to say something that you need to hear. So we've been calling, whenever we get these financial breakthroughs, we've been calling them behold moments because they're moments that you shouldn't just keep to yourself. Oh, praise God, that was wonderful. No, get on the phone, tell somebody. How many people are going to be calling people all over the United States today going, did you see what my team did? Did you see what my team did? Did you see what? Well, you have an even greater thing. If God has done a miracle in your life, get on the phone and tell somebody. Amen? Text it. Email. I mean, there's a million ways now that you can get the word out. But tell people when God is doing something. And he says, I will do a new thing. And I love the definition. It says something in Barnes, the commentary in Barnes, says something that has never occurred, something unheard of, a wonderful event that will far surpass all that God has formerly done. I don't know about you, but I've seen some amazing things in my lifetime. And if he's going to do it even better than before, woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. These are amazing things coming. And then we talked about now it shall spring forth. I can imagine that Elizabeth felt like it was springing forth, right? One day, there's nothing in her bank account, and the next day, boom, it's overflowing. It literally happened overnight. Amen? And so for some of us, that's the way it will happen. It will be a boom overnight. It will just spring forth. For others of us, it will be like you're watching your kids grow. I gave that analogy of one day, they'll be growing and growing and growing. One day, you look up, and you're like, I told you not to do that. Instead of down here, it's up here, right? Because all of a sudden they've sprung forth. And that might be how your harvest happens. It's a spring, it's a gradual succession, and all of a sudden, wow, you realize what God has done, and your debts are paid. Amen? And then the next part he says is, shall you not know it? And we talked about last week that he's talking about we need to see through eyes of faith. Prophets don't always see things in the natural realm. They see things in the spiritual realm. And we were talking about how that faith in Hebrews 11:1, it says faith, oh my goodness, just went right out the window. 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Ah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So our faith is our eyes that see, even though we can't see it in the natural, right? That word, know it, means to ascertain by seeing. So you have to start seeing it with your eyes that that it's happening even if you can't see it in the natural realm. Somebody say amen. And today, I love this one. I will even make a way in the wilderness. I will even make a way in the wilderness. Wilderness. In Jameson and Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary, there's just some names for you. Wilderness is defined as just as Israel in the wilderness between the Red Sea and Canaan was guided and supplied with water by God, with the new deliverance shall be attained with manifestations of God's power and of love, eclipsing the old. What does eclipsing mean? It's gonna so overtake that it's gonna shadow what you've had in the past when God makes a way in this new wilderness. I love God because he understands who we are as people. That he can say something about us in our lives, but sometimes we need a reference point. Somebody say reference point. So here he's speaking to the children of Israel who are now in captivity, and he's giving them a reference point. He's saying, remember when you were in the wilderness and I brought you through. He didn't just bring them through. He literally guided them, a cloud by day, a pillar by night. He fed them the manna, the quail. I won't get into the next part because I'll be preaching next week, but it's about the water. So God literally provided for everything that they had need of, and he brought them through the wilderness. Amen? If it eclipses the old, what is he saying about their future now? It's not even going to compare to the miracles. I don't know about you, but if I could have a cloud by day and a pillar by night that could guide me every single step of the way, that would be pretty phenomenal. I think that would be something I would remember for the rest of my life. I would tell my children and their children, and then it would go on and on and on. Walking through a sea, I think that would be pretty much cemented in my mind as an amazing event. How about you guys? So he's going back and he's saying, remember those amazing things. Then he's saying, but they're not even going to compare to what I'm about to do in your life. I will even make a way in the wilderness. I will give you direction and provision in the wilderness where there is commonly no path and where all necessities are wanting. It doesn't matter. Wilderness is often related to the world that we live in. So it doesn't matter if there's no path in the natural. It doesn't matter if there is no necessities in the natural. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. Why? Because we, as children of God, as tithers and givers, we do not function in the natural. Someone say amen. We function in the supernatural. And you see those buckets on your table? Victory. That's what God has to say about your finances today. Victory over our finances. What he's going to do is going to so far surpass anything that he has ever done before. You're going to be like, I thought the last time was amazing, but this is incredible. Amen? Why? Because just as I was sharing earlier, there is a work to be done in these end times, and God needs the church to rise up. I heard it said this last week in one of the preachings I was listening to. They said it was never God's design for the state or the government to supply the needs of the people in the country. That was not God's plan. You know whose plan it was for him for to supply? Us, the church. That was his plan. If Abraham was to be so blessed that all the nations would be blessed through him, we are part of that seed. And so how amazing would it be for the state to come to the churches and say, here's the needs we have, and we say, no problem, got that. And you may be sitting there going, wow, that's a lot. Not for our God. Not for our God. That's why it's important that we be debt-free. That's why it's important that we have the things that we need so that we are able to, as my Aunt Vicki used to always say, give off the top. It's the overflow. It's not like they used to say, robbing Peter to give to Paul or robbing Paul to give to Peter, right? No, we got to stop thinking like that. God needs our finances so blessed And he's saying to us today, I have a way for you. No matter that you're walking in this world, you are not of this world, and your finances don't come from this world, they come from me. And if you thought the past was amazing when I provided for you in the past, your mind cannot conceive what I have ahead of you. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I thank you for this powerful word, this behold word for us. Wake up, church. Wake up and hear what God is saying about our finances. We are blessed to be a blessing so that we can give to every good work, overflowing with abundance. Father, I thank you for the illustrations in your word, and the one that rings true in my mind is the story of Joseph. Father, that you used him, you raised him up in a time when famine was going to destroy not just the country where he was in, but his family and the whole world. And because one man chose to say, I can agree with God. I can agree with the visions that he's given me. I can go with that. Because one man agreed, his obedience saved the world. Wow, God. What if one church, two churches, three churches, 50, 1,000? What if we all decided to agree with you, God? Imagine what we could do in these last days to touch people's lives, to set them free, not just spiritually, but financially. To be able to get the word out to all the nations so that we are ready for you to come back for us. We just praise you, Father. Bless every seed that is sown today. Guide us through this wilderness and the world. Give us wisdom of what to do with our finances, wisdom of where to sow, wisdom of where to reap. Show us, Father, if we're investors, where to invest. Be the cloud by day and the fire by night, Holy Spirit, to show us exactly what we need to do. And we praise you, Father, for the victory that we have in you today. In Jesus' name. And someone said, amen. Woo! I don't know about you, but that just gets me excited.
Somebody shout amen. Is it okay if we have some fun in church? I brought my Corvette today. It was me and Shelly's anniversary this past week. 21 years that woman's been married to me. She deserves, you know, a trophy for that. Praise God. I love you, Pastor Shelly. And my kids, they went shopping for us too. And one of the things they got me was a Corvette. So I had to bring my Corvette to show you. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. I have this little thing when I'm out driving around town on my day job. I call it Porsche versus Vet, and I just keep mental track of how many Porsches I see and how many Vets I see, and red is wild. So it's a fun little thing we got going. Around here, we even see Ferraris around now and Lamborghinis, and what's the other one we see sometimes? McLaren, yeah. So it's just fun to be watching for nice stuff, amen? How many know God's got nice stuff for you? Amen. Heaven is a really, 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 really nice place. Amen. And aren't you blessed that God has given us a really nice place to meet in to have church? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, our message today is going to be a Super Sunday message. And oh, there's the banner right there. We titled it Victory. Somebody say Victory. Amen. And on your tables, you got a little tub that says victory and all the prizes and things. But how many know that God is all about victory? Amen. Jesus won the victory once and for all, didn't he? When he died on the cross, rose again from the dead, he defeated the most infamous enemy of them all, death. Amen. That's why you don't have to be afraid of a virus. You don't have to be afraid of passing away. You don't have, if you're born again, that is. If you're not born again, guess what time it is? Time to get born again. Time to give your life to Jesus. It's important to have this eternal life thing settled, because a lot of folks are thinking about retirement. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. thinking about getting this month paid for. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. But how many of you know there's this thing called eternity? And we don't want to miss out on what God has for us in this thing called forever. Somebody say forever. Forever goes way past our lifetime on this planet. Amen. So Jesus is the one who won the forever victory. Praise the Lord. And of course, today is a part of forever, isn't it? Amen. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you've got a Bible, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. And our foundation text is verse 57. But I want to read to you a few other verses in that chapter. Somebody say hallelujah. I got my little tabs in here. Oh, there you are. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to start in verse 50. And it says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're talking about the rapture of the church here. Jesus is coming soon. The angel of God will blow the trumpet in the sky, and we out of here, man. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Right? This is Bible. Somebody say, this is Bible. Right? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, somebody say this out loud, death is swallowed up in victory. Glory to God. And then verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? That's what you call a little Jesus trash talk right there. Right? When Jesus took those keys out of the devil's hands and ransacked hell, and he stood over the devil's head on the ground. Hey, devil, where's your victory? Hey, death, where's your sting? Somebody say hallelujah. Amen, Everly. I did a funeral this past year from a teenager who committed suicide. It was, in the natural, very tragic, very sad. He was born again. He just wasn't living for God. And I got to pray with him before he passed away. But he had a lot of friends that showed up there. And in this, you know, COVID-restricted thing, the funeral place allowed us to meet out in the cemetery. They put a little hut up with like three chairs in it, but 100 people showed up, and they didn't shut us down. And we're all standing out there in this graveyard, and oh, I love Jesus so much. Somebody say, death is swallowed up in victory. Several of this young man's friends gave their lives to Jesus Christ standing in a graveyard. Now that's what you call a spiritual resurrection. Amen? Jesus is all about resurrection. Amen? And so people giving their lives to Jesus in a cemetery. I love it, man. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Somebody say amen. Because most people in the natural who aren't born again are afraid of death. Right? But Jesus reminds us it's not the first death you should be concerned about. It's the second death that we should be really focused on and concerned about if you're not born again. Because to die, you know, without Jesus means there is this thing called spiritual death that follows the natural death. Spiritual death includes this place called hell. And it's forever and ever and ever and ever. Hell was not built for people. It was built for the devil and his angels. The only way people get themselves there is one thing. What, somebody say one thing. It's not adultery, cheating, lying, stealing, killing. Those things are sins, right? But there's one thing. Somebody say one thing. That gets somebody to hell. It's called this. Reject Jesus. And there's also one thing. Somebody say one. One thing that gets you into heaven. It's not because you didn't steal. You didn't commit adultery. You didn't lie. You didn't cheat. Oh, man, do people have their lists. Even religious leaders nowadays will say things like, all you have to do is make sure your good outweighs the bad. And that makes a lot of sense to the mind, but not to God. Not to the Word of God. One thing. Somebody say one thing. There's only one way people get into heaven. One. Accept Jesus Christ and what he did on your behalf, and you're in forever. Somebody say, I'm in forever. Forever. So if you haven't made that decision, you make it. When's a good time to make that decision? How about 11:25 Pacific time? That's right. Somebody to say, Jesus, I choose you now. Now. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And then you can laugh at death. Ha, 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 death. Where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Somebody shout amen. And verse 57 is our foundation text, as it says up there on the screen. And it says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to be two teams out there today in the game, right? How many teams are going to get the victory? Right? Amen? And they're going to be all about, they got the victory, and the team won the victory, and hallelujah. I don't particularly care this year. Amen? But I'm glad it's on. I'll be watching. Guaranteed. Amen? I'll be snacking and watching the game. Praise the Lord. But what we've got to remember is this victory that God has given to us is given to us by God. So all we have to do is receive it. There's going to be a lot of receivers out there attempting to receive the pass, right? And we've got to be people that are good at receiving from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to define to you the word victory. In the concordance, the Bible concordance uses words like triumph. Somebody say triumph. Conquer. Somebody say conqueror. Right? Overcome. Somebody say overcome. Right? Prevail. Say prevail. Now these are great words. Amen? And so many people that have been raised in religion and things like that think these types of words, they don't equate that to Christianity or living for God. They think, well, I'm going to have to lose. I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to go without. I'm going to have to be defeated. And then, oh, I'll finally get into heaven. Somebody said, that ain't true, man. That ain't true, according to the Bible. God has won you a victory that includes February 7th, 2021. Somebody say amen. The dictionary defines victory as success or triumph over an enemy. So in order to have this thing called victory, it's good to understand that we have an enemy. Amen? And my enemy is not in Washington, D.C., right? My enemy is not my family. My enemy is not corporate America, right? My enemy is not religion. My enemy is not terrorists or whatever. Somebody say we have one enemy, and he is the devil. Amen? It's important we remember that as believers in Jesus, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Doesn't mean we agree with everybody, right? But they're not my enemy. The people are not my enemy. The devil is our enemy. Amen? And so Jesus got this victory over the devil once and for all. once and for all time. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for winning that victory for me. He did something for me and for you that we could not do for ourselves. That is one of the reasons why people have such a hard time accepting Christianity, is because I can't do that myself. Give me something I can do myself. I have to somehow earn this. Give me some stairs to climb, some beads to spin, some things to say, some things to do. Somebody say one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Now, everything that we do from there isn't in order to earn anything from Him. Amen? Everything we do from there is because we love Him. Somebody say, I love Him. I love Him. I obey Him because I love Him. I repent from my sins because I love Him. I'm nice to people because I love Him. Glory to God. I come to church because I love Him, not to earn something from Him. Somebody say glory to God. And I want to talk about for a moment here, overcoming in days of adversity. Right? And that's what our main title is today. Victory over adversity. Somebody say, I have the victory over adversity. And if you didn't notice, we live on planet adversity. This is the university of adversity right here. And God didn't create the adversity. The adversity wasn't His idea. The adversity kills and steals and destroys, because adversity is from the adversary, who is the devil. Amen? And he is adverse, he is opposite to everything the Bible says is true. He questions it, he ridicules it, he mocks it, and he'll use people to do it. He'll use people to mock the truth. He'll use people to create lies. He'll use people to say things that are downright anti-Bible, anti-God, and make it sound, he'll sprinkle it with sugar. But see, as believers in Jesus, we need to be able to tell the difference between truth and lie. Where do we go to do that, church, right? Somebody say the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. That is true yesterday, today, and forever. Well, the Bible's old hat, Pastor Steve. We gotta get up to 2021. Well, did you know that Jesus, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen? So Proverbs 24, verse 10 says this. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I don't know about you, but this has been, you know, just with this disease thing, we're in, about a year into it now. And by the looks of it, they just keep acting like it's just going to keep going and going and going and going and going. Somebody say you can't faint in the day of adversity. To God, it's been about 2 seconds. To us, it's been a long time, especially as Americans, especially as believers in Jesus, right? It's like, man, when can we stop wearing these masks? Can I go back to the restaurant? When can I go back to school and not have it feel like it's a clinic? Amen? Somebody say, don't faint in the day of adversity. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our victory. These things will change in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we stand in faith. Somebody say, we stand in faith. Amen? And the word faint means to weaken, to cease, to be slothful, to forsake, to be idle, right? So when adversity comes, the natural thing to do is to get weak in faith. How many know that's why you need faith? If you didn't need faith, there wouldn't be any adversity, right? But in our westernized faith, you know, mindset, It should be like the microwave, right? You just, 30 seconds later, it's gone. It's changed, right? Like fast food, right? But when something drags on, and we're just using the COVID thing as one example, there's many examples. That doesn't even include what's going on in your personal life. That just drags on and on and on. And it is adverse to God's word. So what do we do, church? Somebody say, I stand in faith. I stand anyway. Glory to God. And we remind death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah. We don't get weak. We don't quit. We don't get lazy in our faith. Just stop going to church, man. Shouldn't be there anyway. Supposed to avoid gatherings. Somebody say no. No. Why read the Bible? Why study? Why pray? It ain't working. Somebody say no. These are lies. This is when we get up on our faith. Amen. The military, God bless our military, are always training, training, training. And then when they come to a battle, are they just going to quit? No. That's when your training is acted out right there. Amen. And the word adversity means words like tightness, trouble, adversary. We're talking about that. Affliction, anguish, distress, all these things that just turn on the news, man. It's right there in your face. That's why we got to limit our intake of the news, right? And turn on the good news, the word of God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? I would say this, don't allow these things to change you, but you change them by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? John 16:33 says this. Jesus says this. In the world, you will have tribulation. Jesus told us ahead of time, right? In the world, you will have adversity. But then he says this. But be of good cheer. Somebody just smile. Like the Apostle Paul when he got the news, the ship is going down. Right? But he knew God had called him to go to Rome and preach the gospel, and an angel appeared to him, right? And got him all stirred up again in his faith. And he went and told all those men, hey, cheer up! We're going to be okay. Amen? Somebody say, cheer up. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the adversity. Glory to God forevermore. So the overcomer, if you're born again, lives on the inside of you. Now that is something to be happy about. Amen. That's something that will last all through today and tomorrow and next week and through the year. Amen. Now we're going to close up here in just a few minutes, but I want to read to you a couple of coach quotes about victory. The first one is from Vince Lombardi, who coached you might have heard of the Green Bay Packers. My daughter's wearing the MVP jersey today. Lindsay. My other daughter's wearing the Rookie of the Year jersey today. Luke is a 12, like me. We got Peyton Manning fans, and this is my team from the 80s right here, man. Go Niners. In the 80s, that is, right? But Coach Lombardi, who coached the Packers from 1959 to 1967, he says this, and this jumped out. I heard this week, and I had to find it, but he said this. You've got to keep yourself in prime physical condition because fatigue makes cowards of us all. And it's funny that he chose that word because I actually called, a few weeks back. I called the Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line, man, because I was hurting. It's like, man, this stuff is just weighing me down. It's oppressive. And I wanted some prayer, right? So I called and I talked to the prayer minister on the phone. I said, brother, pray for me because I feel like I have faith fatigue. And I'll tell you what, I got a vaccination that day from faith fatigue. being tired. And this quote from Coach Lombardi sums it up. Why avoid fatigue? Because it turns me into a coward, man. Somebody say, don't get tired and weary of believing, right? Now our bodies, our soul, mentally, those things can grow tired, but if we stay strong in the Spirit, if we stay strong in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody shout amen. And that transcends whoever's in office, whatever's going on in the world, right? Somebody say, we got the victory. And I wanted to read to you on those lines a little portion of Jerry Savelle's partner letter. We'll come back to that in a second. But I would encourage you, you know, a great place to plug in is this place called the Victory Network. Great stuff. You can just search it out. Great men and women of God teaching God's word that will keep you encouraged. In addition to reading your Bible every day. But one of the ministries, Jerry Savelle Ministries, I believe it's jerrysavelle.org, but his partner letter this week says this, and I just read this the other day, and I thought, I'm so going to read that on Sunday because it applies directly to this, right? He says this, how long are you willing to trust God? Do you have a no faith, or I'm sorry, do you have a no quit faith? While praying about what the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you, I kept hearing in my spirit these words, it's time to press into the prophetic promises of God. What does this mean? First of all, the word press is defined as the state of being persistent, to be urgent or demanding, compelling action from oneself, to engage in a relentless manner for a certain cause, to make a strenuous effort to achieve something of great importance, to earnestly endure, to hold fast without wavering or compromising. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you want to experience all that God promises, you're going to have to develop what I call a no-quit faith. That's the attitude Paul had. Regardless of the hardships, persecutions, and betrayals, Paul refused to back down. Somebody say amen. That's the attitude that we all must have if we truly desire to see the fulfillment of God's promises. It simply comes down to how much do you want them to come to pass in your life, and how long are you willing to persevere? Boy, I'll tell you what, I heard God speak in my spirit the other day. When I say I heard God, I don't mean an audible voice, but he speaks in our spirits if we're listening, right? And I heard him say this, stand another day. Somebody say, stand another day. It's so easy to get caught up in, if you've ever ran track, for example, right? And you're in the quarter mile or the half mile or whatever they call it. Somebody to say, it's just about the next step, right? Stand another day. Don't be overwhelmed with the size of the obstacle, with the size of the adversity. Just let the adversity be overwhelmed by the size of your God, right? And the size of the fight inside of you. Hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. God's people often give up too soon. How long are you willing to persevere? Now see, just that question reminds me that it's my choice. Somebody say it's my choice to quit or not quit. Somebody say, start choosing to not quit. Look yourself in the mirror and say, we are sticking with it. We're sticking with Jesus. That reminds me of another story in the Bible where a lot of folks that were following Jesus stopped following him all at once because they thought, man, this guy is out of his mind. It's a hard thing to follow this man. It was nice when he fed us and we saw him do these great miracles, but what's coming out of his mouth, we cannot accept. And they left. And he looked at his disciples And he said, what about you? Are you going to stop following me too? And Peter says, who else should we follow? Who else is there? Somebody say, he's the one. Keep following Jesus. No matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, right? Just keep following Jesus. Somebody say, stand another day. That's where your victory is. Your victory could come sometime tomorrow afternoon. It could come in 5 minutes. You don't know. But you just keep standing and then stand. And then you get up tomorrow and you stand. And you get up the next day and you stand. And next month, guess what? You'll get up and you will do what? You'll stand another day. Somebody say hallelujah, right? Jesus said in Matthew 11:12, the violent take it by force. The Amplified says, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. See, a lot of Christians don't want anything to do with that, right? We just want God to do it all for us. And believe me, Jesus did the hard part, didn't he? Jesus did the hard lifting, the heavy lifting. We were watching a few weeks ago the Strongest Man in the World event. And they had these boulders that were like 300 pounds, 350 pounds, 450 pounds. And they started with one and they lifted it and set it on a stand. And then they go to the, remember that, boys? And they, somebody say, Jesus lifted what I could not lift. All he's asking me to do is stand in faith. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost will help you stand. Other believers who are standing will help you to stand. Amen? Praise God. Don't give up until you take possession of it. Whatever that is, whatever you're believing God for, if you see it in His Word, don't quit on it. Amen? If God says, I can have it, then I'm not giving up until I have it. You might be thinking, but you don't understand, the devil's fighting me day and night. It's so hard to keep on going. But that's what perseverance is all about. I know it's not easy. That's why people quit, he says, right? Before being saved, I always looked for the path of least resistance. If things get tough, I just quit, he says. I had to develop the art of continuing. If you can develop that same attitude, don't you know this is an attitude we're talking about, right? A mindset. You can have that same tenacity. God would never expect persistence from you if it weren't possible. You're going to have to stand strong and fight the good fight of faith. James 4:17 instructs us, submit yourself to God, therefore, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many bullies were turned away simply because the kid refused to back down? And he was, it turned out, more bark than bite. Amen. Praise the Lord. In other words, stand your ground and refuse to waver. How persistent are you in doing this? There are examples all over the Bible of people who demonstrated a relentless faith and how God rewarded them by fulfilling what he had promised. Read a few more lines here. Paul tells us that their stories were recorded for our benefit. In Romans 15:4, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Somebody say, plug into God's word. That will keep you standing. Amen? That's why you need to stay in the word, so that these examples will continuously encourage you to press on. The book of Hebrews records many stories of these relentless people and how God honored their faith. And he has promised to do the same for you if you follow their example. Hebrews 11:33 and 34 declares, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Did you see that? It was through standing in faith that they obtained promises. The Passion Translation puts it this way: their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. Glory to God, right? Fastened means to firmly attach or secure so that you're not likely to give up or give way. Another definition is to become incapable of being overcome with doubt or discouragement. Is that what you're doing? Does that describe you? I'm here to talk you out of quitting and into winning. It takes a stand of faith. Refuse to give up or give in. That's how you lay hold of God's prophetic promises. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I can stand another day. But I just can't stand it. Stand another day. I can't stand it anymore. Stand another day on the promises of God for you. For your health, for your financial breakthrough, for breakthrough in your nation, for breakthrough in your family, for breakthrough in your business, for breakthrough in your schools. Somebody say, stand in faith another day. Amen. I want to close with another portion here. One of the quotes from probably my favorite coach ever. From Bill Walsh, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Back in the 80s, 1979 through 1988. He was Joe's coach, right? That makes him really cool. I mean, oh, praise God. And he says this, Mr. Walsh, I've observed that if individuals who prevail in a high competitive environment have any one thing in common besides success, it's failure and their ability to overcome it. Amen? I'm going to say that again. He says this, I've observed that if individuals who prevail in a high competitive environment have one thing in common besides success, it's failure, dash, and their ability to overcome it. In other words, everybody's got failure, okay? But not everybody overcomes the failure. A lot of people just build a house in Failureville. Amen? They don't speak to the mountain like Jesus says. No, they build a resort at the mountain. And they invite everybody to come and celebrate the mountain when Jesus says you're to speak to the mountain and command it to move in the name of Jesus. Amen? And in closing, in regards to that story, I want to, that quote, that brings to my mind Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And whoever wins the Super Bowl, whoever is the champion at the end of today's game, they'll get a ring. And it's all about the rings, baby. There's pictures of these guys with a ring. A lot of the greatest players don't have any ring, never got a ring. Never even had a chance to compete for a ring, which means they won the, you know, the ring means you won the championship. There's other guys that have two rings. Some have three rings. Joe has four rings. And it was a team thing. I love one of the things they asked Joe Montana, interviewer, once when I was listening to him, and he said, Joe, would you trade just one of your Super Bowl rings for a Heisman Trophy? Right? Heisman Trophy is given to the greatest college athlete of that particular year. And he never won that. He was a lower draft pick. And he thought about it for a second. He goes, no, because a Super Bowl ring is a team victory. I love that. Well, you know, Jesus did what he did for the team, man. The cross is in the shape of a T should remind you we're on Team Jesus. I've heard people mock that. Oh, it's the Team Jesus. Yes, it's a Team Jesus thing. Only one other team, the losing team. I have this thing for winning, okay? I have this thing for wanting to win. And if I can just join, like for example, right now in the NBA, if you're on the Lakers, you pretty much got it made, right? If you're with LeBron, or in the NFL, I guess, this year, if you're with Tom, Somebody say, if I'm just with Jesus, I got it made. Hallelujah, right? Well, here's a story about a young man who received an inheritance and just went and blew it all and wasted his life in failure, found himself in the lowest of the lowest of the low condition, and how he chose to overcome that. Because there's somebody out there today that might need to hear this. Amen? I don't know if anyone else out there ever made some kind of a failure in your life, but don't you know, I've heard a success quote, failure is never final. You can rise above it in the name of Jesus, right? No matter what that is. Well, Pastor Steve, you don't know what I did. It was awful. No, the thing is, you need to know what he did. It's not how bad it was what I did. It's how good it was that he did on my behalf. And it covers whatever you did. And plus everybody else too who will receive it. Amen? So here we go. Luke 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided it to them, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Man, he was partying, gambling, whatever he was doing, right? Making bad decisions, blowing his life away. One big party, right? But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine, adversity, right, in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, to a good Jewish boy, that is the lowest of the low, man, hanging out with pigs, right? And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Don't you know, let's just stop right there. No one gave him anything. Sometimes the worst thing we can do for somebody is give them stuff. Society owes me. You have a house, you have a job, you owe me. That ain't Bible. Go get a job. Get yourself up and get yourself moving, and then people will want to help you. Somebody, don't everybody say amen at once. Oh, glory to God. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? So he's a son, and he's starting to remember how great his father's employees have it. Right? I will arise. That's the best thing you can do in the middle of failure is get up. Somebody say, get up. Get on your feet, man. I will arise and go to my father. Hallelujah. Don't let failure keep you from God. Get up and come to Jesus now. Right in the mess that you're in. He's still got pig slop all over him. He got nothing good anymore. He lost all his money. And he says, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now he's kind of rehearsing his speech. He's going to have a press conference. He's going to post something for his father to see. Right? His heart was good. Amen. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and cursed. How dare that kid come back? No. Now see, that's how so many people think of God. That you went and failed, you went and made a mess, you got yourself into some problems, and God's just going to laugh at you and reject you. That is not God. That is not God. I'll say it a third time. That is not God. He's watching the horizon for you to arise and come back. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo! He arose and came to his father. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion. That's your daddy. That's Abba Father, right? And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son went through his speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven. It's good. It's good to just admit to God. I blew it, Father. We don't come to God with a bunch of excuses. Guess what? He already knows, right? Father, I blew it, man. I made a mess, right? All I can do is gather myself up and bring myself back to you. That's the best thing. Somebody say, that's the best thing you could ever do, right? The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, these are like the angels, okay? We're seeing from God's perspective. Bring out the best. Somebody say the best. The best robe. And put it on him. Think about the Masters. When someone wins the Masters, they get the green jacket. Right? Well, God has this thing called the robe of righteousness. It's like his own robe. And his sons and daughters wear it. Wear it and love it. Don't get into, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a son or daughter of God if you're born again. And here we go. And put a ring on his hand. Somebody say, he got the ring anyway. He got the ring anyway. His father put the ring on his hand. You won it all, son. You chose me. Glory to God. And sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. That reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed and his blood was shed to take away my failures and all my sins. Glory to God. And let us eat and be merry. For this, verse 24, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray here right now before we give away some prizes, right? Because maybe there's somebody who needs right now to come to the Father. You're having I've come to my senses moment. I'm not going to be rolled over by all this adversity anymore. I'm done participating in adversity, causing adversity in people's lives. And I just say, Jesus, here I come. I give you my life. Just pray that out loud. Father God, I receive Jesus and all he's done for me. Thank you for being my daddy. I admit that I've blown it. And I receive your love. I receive your power and your forgiveness and your compassion. I receive that robe of righteousness, that ring of your authority and sonship and victory. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout, amen.